Devin Singletary, Traquan Smith, all local athletes who made it big in the NFL.
With the first pick,
the draft was the night that changed their lives. Who will be next?
The Miami Dolphins select.
This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken LaVica and Pierre Garcon. Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. Presented by Greco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
We are less than 2 hours away from the first pick in the NFL draft from Las Vegas this year. It is the Jacksonville Jaguars, really, as always, on the clock to kick off the NFL draft. And we welcome you tonight to the NFL Draft Kickoff Show at Palm Beach Kennel Club. The Paddock Room, PBKC, as fans continue to file in here with the draft that gets going at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. You can listen to it right here on ESPN 106.3. Good evening. I'm Ken LaVica, and joined for the next 2 hours by a man who is dressed like he is getting drafted tonight.
Every day.
The NFL receptions leader in 2013, a man who caught a touchdown in Super Bowl 44. He is the guy. He is ESPN 106.3 Zone and Palm Beach County Zone out of John I. Leonard High School, Pierre Garcon.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, it's an honor to be here.
Pierre Garcon hanging with us and the president of Palm Beach Kennel Club, Pat Rooney Jr. as well. Sorry I didn't give you the huge buildup I gave Pierre, but go catch a touchdown. It is awesome to have everybody here, and it is awesome to get into the NFL draft, and that begins. And what is wild about this is we kick things off from the Paddock Room here at Palm Beach Kennel Club. And again, come by. That all-you-can-eat buffet is ridiculous. Go check that out. Pierre is here. We're all here. We've got TVs surrounding the perimeter here. We've got the three jumbo TVs. You can have all of this for $30 here tonight. Just roll out to the Paddock Room, Palm Beach Kennel Club. This is your draft headquarters in Palm Beach County. But this is a draft that doesn't have appreciable quarterback buzz in any way, shape, or form. There are mock drafts all over the board, whether it's the Panthers taking a quarterback at 6, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, the authorities, quote-unquote, don't have a quarterback being taken until 19 and 20, respectively. You, as a pass catcher, Pierre, you are appreciative of a good quarterback, but the names like Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral or Malik Willis, do they excite Pierre Garcon?
Malik Willis excites me. He has a strong arm, and as a receiver, we love that because he can get us the ball. The rest of the guys, and I don't know much about them, but you know, I know they're first-round worthy picks, so be excited to any team that has them.
It is so difficult to forecast this, and what's crazy to me, too, is for the first time in a long time, Pat, your Pittsburgh Steelers may be taking a quarterback in the first round. It's been since 2004 with a guy named Ben Roethlisberger that got taken as a pass thrower in the first round.
Yeah, and it goes back to 1980 before that with Mark Malone. I mean, we don't take quarterbacks almost as much as we don't change coaches.
I was going to say.
But, yeah, you're right there. I know Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert have been researching these guys that you just mentioned, Pickett, Corral, Willis, Sam Howell. There's a couple guys out there, Ritter, the guy from Cincinnati, that might go later. So, I mean, it's a possibility. Depends on, obviously, like it always does, what happens in front of us, who's available. Because I think the Steelers, they need help in a lot of different areas. So if somebody like the tackle from Georgia, if he falls to number 20, Steelers need a lot of help on the defensive line. So, I mean, it'd be hard to pass that up even if one of those quarterbacks is there because you just don't know what you're going to get with a quarterback. You don't know what you're going to get with a lot of guys, but at least you have some certainty that a guy that has the intangibles, like a defensive tackle coming out, you know, with running the 40 and what he did and all that kind of stuff, those are the types of things that you're fairly certain that they're going to be able to play. If you take Kenny Pickett and he can't really play, and that's the evidence that if you look at a lot of drafts, these quarterbacks are taking, not only do they not turn out to be like the saviors of the team or leading the Super Bowls, they can't play. They don't even play.
Yeah.
And that's what you're risking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm Ken Levick Alive, noon every day here on ESPN 106.3. Pierre joins me occasionally, and we've talked a lot about the quarterback position. And I'm not saying anything revolutionary here. That's the position. We are in a quarterback era right now in the NFL. I feel like there's a temptation, even in a year of lesser quarterbacks per se, and I'm not trying to disrespect them or dump all over them, but this is certainly not the greatest quarterback class that we've seen. I do feel like there is going to be a couple of teams in the top 10 who can't resist because it's a quarterback league. They're going to grab. They're not going to wait because there's this, well, let's appease the fan base and let's see if maybe we caught lightning in a bottle and we're able to get this quarterback, and that's where a Kenny Pickett would go number six to Carolina, or someone would surprisingly jump into the top five to go get a Malik Willis. I feel like as an NFL team, you've got to stay away from that, even if it is a quarterback league, if you don't truly trust what's there at that position.
You have to, because the player has to fit into your system, and that's what recruiting is all about, or scouting during the scouting combines, how strong their arm. The playbook does help the quarterback be more successful. And as Pat said, if you get a D lineman, which beats up your D lineman, it helps your whole team instead of the quarterback, you know, waiting to catch on. It's important not to reach for a quarterback because it can be wasted and set your organization back 5 years.
So I want to go around the horn here because I've been trying all week to determine what is the main storyline going into this draft. What is the one thing we can latch on to? Because we don't have a sexy first-round pick. It seems like now the spaghetti models, if you will, have sunk up here, to use some hurricane terminology. Trayvon Walker, Georgia, probably going number one to Jacksonville, the pass rusher. Another edge rusher, Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan, going to go to the Detroit Lions, it appears. After that, though, Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst, tweets, NFL front office person to me today, quote, picks 1 and 2 will be as expected, then all hell is going to break loose, end quote. That third pick is Houston. And while mock drafts have Stingley, the corner from LSU, going there, Houston also has actively been trying to shop that pick, and then that could start a massive shuffle here. So I'm curious what is drawing everybody to the draft tonight, and I think you'll appreciate this, Pierre. I keep going back to Debo. What's going to happen with Debo Samuel? Is he going to be a 49er at the end of the night? If not, who is giving up draft picks for a guy who, according to reports, doesn't want to do anymore what makes Debo Samuel special, and that's carry the football and line up in the backfield or take the jet sweep? He wants to be a wide receiver. I don't think that wide receiver Debo Samuel is nearly as valuable as the Debo Samuel experience that we saw last year in San Francisco. I keep going back to Debo, and are the Jets going to go after Debo? That's my big draw tonight. I'm a Dolphins guy, so I can kick my feet up. They're not picking anybody, so I'm good. Life is good. They got their wide receiver. I'm set, man. Everything's good. Tua's valve, safety valve is there. I'm good. But I love the Debo storyline tonight.
Do you think Debo's last year hurt him because he played so well at running?
No, but what I think might happen, I think that his circle should have probably kept their mouth shut until he got traded, because he wants wide receiver money, but he's not a number one wide receiver.
I know San Francisco organization pretty well. I spent 2 years there. I don't think they will let Debo leave that building because you know, he was the offense, and he was the only guy that didn't get hurt. You know, the quarterback got hurt, Trent got hurt, Raheem got hurt, everybody got hurt. And, you know, you don't want to start off your new year with a young quarterback, Trey Lance, and no weapons to give him. That's going to hurt his growth. We're talking about, you know, growth with the quarterback early on. So I don't think they will let him go no matter.
He's staying in San Fran?
I think they give him the money that he's asking for. They come to a deal, and, you know, he's Debo, you know. But I'd be shocked if he leaves San Francisco.
Okay. I ask you, Pat, when you look at this draft, knowing that I think the story position-wise of this draft is wide receivers and offensive tackles, not to disrespect the big men, but it's not exactly drawn in the American public. Like, hey, here's a 6'7", 325-pound tackle. Sexy. No, I want the fast guy. I want skill position guys. What's drawing you to the draft?
Well, you know, that's an excellent point, Ken, because you're right. This draft probably has more great offensive linemen in it than anything I can remember in the last 20 years.
I agree.
But with that said, offensive linemen don't touch the ball unless it's a fumble or something. Generally, so you're right. They're the least sexy player in the NFL as offensive linemen. But if you can get a couple good tackles, a guard, a center, anybody that can generally play, that is such an important part of how your offense is going to play. We talk about the quarterback. Probably the number one position in sports is quarterback. I'm talking center, power forward, starting pitcher, doesn't matter. Quarterback is the most important position in sports, in my opinion, these days, the way the rules are in the NFL and everything else. So you have to have a quarterback. But if he's not protected, it's not going to matter. You're going to have guys running around all over the place, and there just aren't many of those guys that have that kind of escapability. So, with that said, you're right. Offensive linemen, I think I think what you're going to see at that third pick, whether it's Houston or somebody else, is that's when you're going to start seeing those offensive linemen go, and you might see 5 or 6 out of 7 picks be offensive linemen. That's how good this draft is. Receiver, absolutely. Same thing. Excellent draft for wide receivers. We've had a lot of drafts that have good wide receivers in them. Can they make a difference? Absolutely. But they need a guy to throw it to them. That's my issue. That's the one issue I got with the Dolphins getting Tariq Hill. I like Tua, but I just don't know. If he's not getting 15 balls to Tariq, I don't know if that's going to work. And that's the problem with taking a great receiver. Unless you got a quarterback that can get him the ball, it's almost like he's nullified out there.
I promise you they're going to get Tyreek the ball.
Yeah,
I know they will. I promise you.
I know they're going to try.
I promise you. I know Mike McDaniel, and they're going to force feed Tyreek Hill the ball, and he's going to take it to the house on some short passes. Going deep, we always talk about Tua's arm, but you know, he'll figure it out. Hopefully catch him off guard, but they're going to get Tyreek the ball.
The Dolphins.
I'll take your word for it.
The Dolphins will come up. We'll talk about Mike McDaniel because Pierre, again, played for Mike McDaniel when he was the wide receiver coach with the 49ers. You were in that wide receiver room with Mike McDaniel. As soon as the Dolphins hired Mike McDaniel, I'm like, Pierre, can you come on the radio show? I got to talk about Mike McDaniel. I love this guy. So we'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins and Tua and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. I feel tingly and goosebumpy already just thinking about it. It is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show here at Palm Beach Kennel Club, the NFL Draft Kickoff Party. PBKC, come by, all-you-can-eat buffet. Pierre Garçon, these TVs, just tons of TVs here lining everything. You'll have the draft, great view of the draft from any vantage point here at the Paddock Room at PBKC. $30, come in, roll through, and hang out with us tonight in the first round of the NFL draft. Pat, you were talking about the wide receivers and just how sick the depth is at that position. Chris Canty at ESPN said this yesterday, that over the last 10 years, the position that has hit least, that has seen the players completely drop out of the NFL who were taken in the first round at a larger, faster rate than any other position is wide receiver.
Yep.
It is very difficult to find a dependable wide receiver. But to juxtapose that, I mean, Pierre, you absolutely are seeing it now. We are seeing a resurgence in the era of the wide receiver in the NFL. That's where the money is going now.
That's where it is. But the wide receiver that we're used to back in the day are young, smaller, faster guys. The NFL is going to bigger size. You know, DK Metcalf, those guys are staying around. AJ Brown, those guys, Julio Jones, they're staying around a lot longer because they're bigger and they have a natural advantage. So those are reasons why these guys are not staying in the league long enough, because not everybody's built like Julio Jones.
Right, right. And it's tricky. But then the two richest wide receivers in the NFL, Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, don't fit that large receiver profile.
They don't, but they had great quarterbacks their whole career.
That's helpful.
That is very, very helpful when it comes back to the quarterback getting you the ball.
Yeah.
It's easy. Your job is easier when you have a great Hall of Fame quarterback getting you the ball.
And this presents the question, though, about the Giants, because Daniel Jones today, they opted not to pick up his fifth-year option. I get the feeling that Giants fans are sitting there saying, oh, well, Daniel Jones, a majority of them, Daniel Jones just needs help. He's never had an offensive line in front of him. That's a problem. He also needs someone to catch the football from him as well. There's been some discussion that maybe the Giants are going to go in a different direction from an offensive tackle and maybe go get a wide receiver. But I can't, I don't get the sexy. I understand the sexy part of that.
They actually just had a sexy receiver they picked last year out of UF.
Right.
Tony.
Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, he's very good. And they have Galloway on there as well. Like you say, it's probably hard for Daniel Jones to get them two guys the ball, but they're very athletic and, you know, they're top-tier wide receiver if they're getting a fair opportunity. But
right.
With New York Giants losing Saquon, this run sets up the pass. The offensive line not being that good, it kind of does fall on the quarterback and the receivers, which you know I don't think they've built up enough continuity to
sure.
to set the league on fire.
And I
expect big things from those two guys.
For sure, but I do think then that also lends to staying disciplined if you're a team like the Giants, not getting caught up in the sparkly thing and going to get the big dude along the line.
Well, the thing, Ken, you know, with the Giants specifically, you know, Daniel Jones, like you said, he's been there 4 years now. Most of the time, you're going to see if your quarterback, what I call the it factor, has it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not win with him or whatever. He might throw a zillion interceptions, but he's making things happen.
Right.
Nothing seems to happen with this guy. Look at all the guys that have been recycled over the last few years, like Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, that go to these other teams, and they just nothing's happened with them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if he just had a system, if he had the right coach, if he had the right offensive coordinator. But they do go to these places, and it just doesn't seem that. Now, Ryan Tannehill, I'll give him credit, went to Tennessee, and he's made himself a nice football player, but he still hasn't led them to the Super Bowl or anything. It's just very difficult, I think, for a young guy, not difficult. I think it's just the reality. You either got it or you don't. And
right.
you can see that pretty quickly, and I just don't think Daniel Jones has it.
That's a good question about the draft, what the Giants should do. I think if they add another receiver, it would make everybody feel better instead of adding an offensive line.
Yeah.
If you have three good receivers on the field – then it's up to Daniel Jones to get them
right.
The ball, because it's either going to be a deep ball or a short pass or a hot route. You know.
Yeah, sure.
And you give it to a first-round pick receiver, all three of those guys are first-round talent. If they draft a receiver tonight, I think that would make the Giants fans feel better, and that would make Daniel Jones earn a contract instead of, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I just look at them in comparison to the Dolphins. The Dolphins not only loaded up with pass catchers, but they also got the best available tackle. In free agency to help that process. It is hard for a fan base, and you can attest to it, Pat, and Pierre, you've seen it. It's hard for a fan base to rally behind an offensive lineman, but it might be the most intelligent place
the
to
safest
go.
Pick. The
yeah.
safest pick.
And sometimes safest is best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're Daniel Jones, I feel like safest is best for him because he's desperately – next year's a tryout. That's pressure stuff right there for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's going to have to show something. Again, whoever they take, offensive lineman or receiver tonight, it's going to put additional pressure on him, like you're saying, Ken, because, you know, next year's
yeah.
it. He that's the last year of his contract, and, you know, he's got to prove it. So sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's hard to tell a guy, hey, we need to see something out of
right.
you. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I hope I am for his sake, but I just don't think he's going anywhere other than – to some other team to be a backup, kind of like Trubisky did, and then hope he gets another chance somewhere else. But I haven't seen enough out of him to say, hey, this guy's got something to him.
He would get another chance, but I'm saying go wide receiver.
Yeah.
More weapons.
Pierre Garçon is in on the wide receivers.
The more weapons on the field, the more chances you got to get out of trouble.
Sure. And Pat, I absolutely am with you. Like Daniel, if there was a bowl of vanilla ice cream that could be an NFL quarterback, is Daniel Jones. Like, but then if you put weapons around him and give him a line like Matt Ryan, who also is a bowl of vanilla ice cream, he got some sprinkles over time because he had some dudes, right?
Yes.
And now he's in Indy where he's got some dudes, and it's probably going to go pretty well for him, I would think.
I hope so for him.
Absolutely. who knows? That's the beauty of sports. Sometimes things can happen, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a spark and something happens with you. But we'll have to see, because, like I said, I've seen enough out of him that I think the Giants need to get a quarterback at some point here. And the longer you put that off, the longer it delays the inevitable with the rest of your team as to what – if you get that solidified, that just takes care of so much other stuff with your team. If you don't have a quarterback, you're one of – there's very few teams that have, like, the it quarterback. And if you don't have that, man, that's all you're spending your time doing is trying to find that guy.
Every year.
Speaking of, when we come back, we'll talk Baker Mayfield. because he's another name that will figure prominently into this NFL draft. Where will he be by the end of the weekend? Because that is going to determine maybe where some teams pick and who they pick even here tonight. By the way, quick note, locals, Evan Neal, Okeechobee product, the Alabama offensive tackle, he is of note. He's going to be a top 10 pick unless something shocking happens. And now, Kyer Elam, the Benjamin School product, and the nephew of Matt Elam, the son of Abe Elam, he is a mid-first-round pick, it appears. So we'll pay attention to them here, Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. We love those guys, and we are super pumped for them here tonight. We're pumped to be here at PBKC, NFL Draft Kickoff Show. It is the NFL Draft Party right here at PBKC. Paddock Room, come through. Enjoy the all-you-can-eat buffet. Come hang with myself, Ken LaVica, Pierre Garcon, Pat Rooney Jr., and all the fans out here. We're going to be on the air until 8 o'clock, but the party goes much later than that. First round of the draft, and it is a Thursday night in Vegas for NFL Draft Night Number 1. Along with Pat Rooney Jr., President PBKC, and the man, Pierre Garcon, former NFL receiver, local legend. I'm Ken LaVica. We're back after this NFL Draft Kickoff Show on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken LaVica and Pierre Garcon. Presented by Greco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
The Paddock Room at PBKC is where we are hanging out tonight. Night number one of the 2022 NFL Draft. The festivities are in Las Vegas, but the best place to see the NFL Draft, hang out and eat the best food, is in the Paddock Room at Palm Beach Kennel Club. The doors are open, the party is underway, and the first pick is just over 90 minutes away, so plenty of time to get out here. And again, with Pierre Garcon, Pat Rooney Jr., I'm Ken LaVica, and we are preparing for this draft. And again, what's drawing you to the NFL Draft tonight? I'm curious, because I've been trying to determine the biggest storyline with this being a light quarterback draft. There could be a lot of movement. What's drawing you to the NFL draft tonight? We'll take your calls, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Before we jump into Baker Mayfield, because he figures prominently, like Deebo Samuel does, into the proceedings tonight, and maybe Baker more so going into the weekend. Deebo definitely, I think something's going to be determined one way or another tonight with him and his 49ers situation. But one of the things that lingers here is the saga and the story of the undrafted free agent. And that is where Pierre Garcon comes in. As a man out of Mount Union, you sat and you watched the draft, and then you waited for a phone call. That's going to be a reality for a lot of players who are going to be in training camps just a couple of months from now. What is that like to sit there? And I suppose when you were drafted, it was on Sunday.
Sunday, last day of the draft.
Yeah. So you're sitting and you're waiting, and you've got your agent, and you're trying to figure out what's going to happen. What was that like for you?
Well, I didn't have my agent. He had bigger clients that year. So,
so Pierre Garcon sitting with his family. Okay.
Yeah, sitting with the family. It's like it's honestly uncertainty. You just sitting there. You don't know if you're going to get a call. You're watching. You're seeing everything go on. You're calculating how many receivers, because in the draft, there's a number amount of receivers that get picked. There's a number amount of DBs. There's, you know, there's these algorithms that we kind of follow, but have no idea of what's really going on. And we just wait for a phone call, but we're calculating who's getting picked, where everybody's going, and just, honestly, you're getting dry phone calls from teams saying, hey, is this still your number? Hey, are you okay? Hey, have you heard anything? And they're just checking in their, I guess we say, play mind game.
Sure.
But they're setting you up for free agency if you don't get drafted, because they're like, hey, we called you during the draft. We just couldn't pick you, but we are very interested.
We want to have you on hold.
You weren't that interested because you didn't pick me, but they're just setting you up for the draft after the draft. It's a free fall in free agency, and honestly, that's when it's even more hectic, where you're getting all the phone calls and you don't know who to pick up because you're getting random phone area codes and you're like, what team is this?
Yeah.
That's literally what you say. What team is this? What team is this? But in the draft, you're like, all right, the call is coming at some point, but you don't know. But I did get a call, and it was the 317 number.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what area code is that?
Right, right.
And it was Jim Irsay. I'm like, who's Jim Irsay? He's like, hey, Pierre, this is Jim Irsay. I'm going to pass you to Tony Dungy.
I'm like, oh, I know that.
I know Tony Dungy.
Like, hey, Pierre, it's Tony Dungy with the Indianapolis Coast, and we're gonna pick you. And I'm like, thank you. I'm like, all right. And he's like, hey, be ready for OTAs. Rookie OTAs is in next week. We're gonna pass you on to Susan. She's gonna book your flight in. And that was it. That was the last thing I heard. But it was. It went that fast. And then my phone blew up. My social media blew up.
Yeah.
I got all the text messages once it went across the screen. But maybe about 10 seconds, 20 seconds before it goes on TV.
I love that. And then 3 years later, you're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Down in Miami.
Yeah, down in Miami. And catching the opening touchdown of the game in front of your family and in front of all the people
that was the icing on the cake.
That's right. Absolutely. And a ho-hum taking not a bad situation Pierre was thrust into with Peyton Manning in his prime at quarterback.
He
not bad at all. He needed an extra weapon, and Pierre Garçon was willing to fill that role. That's right. So, but that is very much a reality for a lot of these guys coming out here tonight. Now, again, with this draft, things on the periphery are just as large as the guys who are coming out of college and being drafted tonight. And Baker Mayfield is certainly in that category, Pat. And his feel bad for me sob story tour that he had over the last 3 weeks. And listen, I'm an emotional guy, okay? I'm very emotional. I've been known to have a cry or two here and there, okay? But this is, I mean, come on. Like, for a guy that's all about swagger and all about attitude, the Cleveland, I always tried my best, and going on the podcast, I just want to be respected. You're not helping yourself here. And then you have Robbie Anderson, the Panthers wide receiver, who's going to Instagram and basically saying in a Carolina Panthers post about Baker Mayfield, no, that's rough. Yeah, Robbie Anderson flat out put Baker Mayfield on blast there. I don't know where he's going, but I do know he's sort of self-destructed a bit to where he doesn't have a team right now.
Well, listen, I don't know Baker personally. I know watching those commercials that he does, I like those. I think they're funny.
He lives at the Brown Stadium.
He does. I mean, so I think Baker feels absolutely like he was completely slighted here. Whether you want to agree with that or not, you know, he's number one overall pick. Brought Cleveland their first playoff victory in, you know, 20-some years. I think felt like he did everything to represent the team as best he could. You're right. He's cocky and he's got a lot of outside issues with various things. But I think he thought, hey, I did everything for this organization that they asked me to. I became a leader. I tried to pump up some excitement with this team. Here's my whole thing with Baker Mayfield. He's been hurt the last 2 years. Whether you agree with the severity of that injury, I think it's affected his ability to be a quarterback. I don't think he's been able to throw the ball and especially, or, you know, get out of the pocket like he needs to with that shoulder. And whether that's completely healed or not, I think if you base everything on the first couple years that he played and then these last couple years, he's almost a different quarterback because he's been hurt. So I think you have to give him at least somewhat of the benefit of the doubt that he's been hurt. If you, any team, it's a business. If you feel like you can go get somebody that's going to upgrade you, I don't care if you got Peyton Manning or you got Dan Marino or whoever. If you think you can get John Elway and he's going to get you the Super Bowl, I agree with that side of the business. But I do agree to some extent that Baker probably feels like, hey, I've done everything you've asked. I probably should have been on the IR all year last year and I played. What else do you want from me? And they go out and get Deshaun and it's all of a sudden like, well, we got to get rid of this guy now. I get that from his standpoint. From a competitive standpoint, at least for 1 year, I'd love to have the guy if he's healthy. I'd love to have the guy because if anybody has a more I'm going to prove you wrong
chip
attitude, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
He's going to work his rear end off to prove Cleveland was wrong to get rid of him. And I'd love to have the guy for a year. Now, after that, I don't know. His talent and everything else is what it is. So you do have to balance all that stuff out. But I'd take him.
What if the Dolphins bring him in?
Well, they already have, I mean, they already have Teddy Bridgewater.
You got too many quarterbacks.
Yeah, you got two.
But Mike McDaniel has a history with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland with Kyle Shanahan, so they kind of know what he can do, but he has been hurt. But when you suit up, you got to perform.
Don't put that into the universe, first of all, Pierre.
Baker can throw it deep. Baker can throw it deep.
Listen, I. Hey, yards. This isn't yards after the catch season. It's yak season, Pierre. Come on now. But the teams that are being projected to take quarterbacks in the first round tonight, let's go through them. Carolina. You've got the Steelers. You have Detroit possibly getting in there. New Orleans may take a quarterback in the first round. There's been some speculation Seattle might try and jump up. They've certainly been flirting a bit with Baker. Baker Mayfield identified them as a team that was a possibility. Of those teams that I just mentioned, where is Baker Mayfield the best fit, do you think?
I could see him in New Orleans.
Competing with Jameis?
That'd be a great competition.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis coming off of an injury, I think it might be a good – and get him indoors.
Bottom of the barrel competition.
Oh, no belief in Jameis.
Sometimes he plays very well. Sometimes it's like, that's Jameis.
Sometimes he's Baker. Yeah.
Sometimes he's Baker.
Sometimes he's Baker.
That's a good competition. I think Baker would win that out, but –
They
don't have receivers.
No, it's tough. And the Saints are certainly different now with Dennis Allen in charge than they were previously.
So it's a fair match, a fair competition with Baker and Jameis.
I think it would be pretty even keel. But, Pat, it almost sounds like your Steelers brain has at least in the – and I'm not saying it's an irrational part of your brain. The rational part of your Steelers football brain has started to come around on Baker maybe being a Steeler.
I got to preface this. I would not trade for him. I'm not paying him $18 million or whatever. I wouldn't do anything like that. If they actually have to cut him and he's a free agent, what do we have to lose? Nothing against Mitch Trubisky, but we don't owe him anything.
No.
We took a chance on him. We don't have anybody. Unfortunately, one of our – what I thought was going to be our best prospect, God rest his soul, got killed here a month ago. So we don't have anybody and Mason Rudolph isn't the answer. So we don't have anybody. We have nothing to lose to take him on. This is completely different, in my opinion, than the Dolphins. The Dolphins have to find out if Tua can play.
Yeah.
Bringing in Baker isn't going to do anything to help figure that out. You got to find out if this kid can play, and you got him with some weapons now. So I would not have Baker on the Dolphins. But those other teams you mentioned, again, Carolina, the Saints to some degree, Detroit, they have nothing to lose. Bring him in, see what he can do. Again, I think you're going to find – and this is why I like him for the Steelers. You are going to find a super motivated guy to try and prove the Cleveland Browns wrong.
Yeah.
If he plays for Pittsburgh, he's going to be even more motivated to prove the Browns wrong.
Yeah.
That's the reason I would like to take a chance on him for a year and see what he can do.
I don't see any team giving up anything of value for him. And if I'm him, it's almost as if the sad face tear parade that he went on works in his favor, because he doesn't have any – nobody wants to take on the perceived drama. Nobody's going to give up anything of value, and the Browns are going to be forced to have to release him and get nothing back for him. It actually, sort of unintended but in a petty manner, comes back to
him.
Win for Baker Mayfield.
He becomes a free agent. He gets to pick the team that he goes to and, restart and get second chance.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is funny with this draft that a lot of the guys on the periphery, Debo and Baker Mayfield in particular, are just as interesting as what is getting drafted. But you've got two pass rushers that are going to go 1-2. What order, we're not quite sure, but we have a pretty good idea. And Vegas overwhelmingly says it's Trayvon Walker, the Georgia pass rusher, going to Jacksonville, and then Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan, staying in state and heading to the Detroit Lions. But having two pass rushers that are going to go in the first two rounds of the draft, I think that says a little bit about where the NFL is headed a little bit, because now there's such a focus on stopping the quarterback, stopping the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Your number three pick, if the Texans stay put, is going to be a corner. There is a major emphasis now being placed on defense, because we have seen scoring numbers unlike anything that we've seen in any era of the NFL, and I think some teams are starting to realize we need to try and neutralize this. Because there are a lot of franchises that are saying, you know what, it's very hard to build a shootout NFL champion. We need to actually find a way to stay in games and not score 40 a night.
That's the strategies the Seahawks had when they, built that Legion of Boom. Kyle Shanahan, those guys are doing that, where they build up their D-line with a bunch of DNs. The Washington Commanders, they're doing that as well. So it is a strategy that, those guys are rad with. And the Indianapolis Colts were doing it a long time with Robert Mathis and Mike Freeney.
Yeah.
So that is a great strategy to stop the quarterback. And those guys, it takes one play to change the whole game around. They'll come on third down and knock the forced fumble, sack fumble. It's the perfect momentum shift that gets the whole
stadium hype.
Yeah, I feel like this is for those that love the defensive traditional end of the game. Mm. This is a nice change of pace, because if it hasn't been a quarterback over the last several years, typically it's been an offensive tackle that has gone number one or has gone most prominently in the first five picks, and it is kind of refreshing to see defense addressed in the first two picks of the draft.
Well, I think, Ken, you're seeing teams that are just what you and Pierre are saying. Neutralize. I don't think you're good with the way the rule now. I don't think you can have a 2000 Ravens defense anymore. And paying guys, I think it's very difficult to get that quality of personnel that you're going to have to pay on defense to have an unbelievable defense that can win games for you. I think the word you picked was right, though. Neutralize. The best you're going to do is try and slow some of these guys down a little bit, and edge rushers. You know, that the running game has been so de-emphasized in a lot of ways, even though I'd personally like to take a defensive tackle with the number one pick, because our run defense was so bad.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing guys go for the TJ Watt type of player, which Hutchinson and Walker are, in my opinion, because they can somewhat affect how the quarterback at least looks down the field and tries to get the ball. You're just not going to win games that much anymore, 17-10. That just isn't going to happen. You're going to have a lot more games like Buffalo and Kansas City. Mm. That's what the NFL is going to – and guess what? The ratings prove that's what people want to see. So I think you have to look at these guys like, hey, we're not looking for you to be Lawrence Taylor and take over games. We just need you to try to slow them down a little bit so that our offense can outscore them.
I want to ask you guys about the Jets in particular, because since the Dolphins aren't picking tonight, I'm going full petty mode. And I am hoping that the Jets severely overpay for Debo or just blow it with the 4th and 10th pick. So that's just me. I'm just one guy who's petty. All right, and I'll admit it, but I want to get to the Jets in a second. We also need to talk about the wide receivers. I'll let Pierre Garçon pontificate on the wide receivers, because this is one of the best wide receiver drafts that we have maybe ever seen, and he's already got a sick wideout on his team, Washington. And wait, Pierre, why are the Washington Commanders your favorite team?
You know, they love me.
Yeah,
they love me. That's why.
They loved him. They loved him. Yep, they loved him in a particular way, and it came in the bank account. So we'll get to the wide receivers, because I love Olave, and I want Pierre to kind of give me an insight here into the wide receivers. But, Pat, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to tell people what's going on here at PBKC, because even from when we were here last year in the paddock room for the NFL draft party, it's different, and it is absolutely beautiful, and it's unique, and you've got TVs all over the place for sporting events, for events. Why not the paddock room at PBKC?
Well, thank you, Ken, for that shameless plug. But we're wanting to make some additions and improvements to the paddock room for several reasons. Number one, it needed it. The room's been, I think, kind of the same for the last 15-20 years, so it needed a little bit of a refresher. But we were hoping that we were going to get sports betting here. We were very close to doing it. Now it's in the courts, so we're going to see where that shakes out. Hopefully we end up getting it this fall. But in the interim, the folks that do come here bet on the horses and other dogs and highline and that kind of stuff. We've upgraded all the TVs. Every TV in here is brand new. I think we've got over 130 TVs, plus the three big screens that we also have now. We're still going to do some stuff in the back there, make a bigger bar area, and open up the kitchen. But the food, Chef Wan Yu, who we've had here forever, has just done a great job with the food and the presentation, and we've given him carte blanche to do really whatever he wants in terms of specials and those kind of things. So it's just really a nice, I think, sports viewing atmosphere in here. If you want to come and watch whatever sport you want to watch, we will get it on for you. You have individual TVs at the tables, but you have bigger TVs surrounding you. So there's no excuse not to be able to see what you want in the paddock room. And hopefully, again, we'll get sports betting at some point here in the future. But in the meantime, it's a great place just to come out and have a couple drinks, have some good food, and watch whatever you want to watch.
I'm telling you, there is literally about 6 inches on the walls here in the paddock room that doesn't have a TV. Everything else has a TV attached to it. You've got the jumbo screens. It is perfect, and this is where you should be watching the opening round of the NFL draft tonight, NFL draft party here at PBKC. This is the NFL draft kickoff show with Pierre Garçon, Pat Rooney Jr. I'm Ken LaVica. We return after this. We're going to let Pierre go off on the wide receivers. We'll get petty with the Jets and a whole lot more. We've got a lot left. NFL Kickoff Show right here on ESPN 106.3.
And in the first round of the NFL Draft, ESPN 106.3 selects... The NFL Draft Big Week is presented by PNC Bank. They're changing the way you handle overdraft fees with low cash mode. It's one way. We're helping to make a difference. NFL Draft Week on ESPN 106.3 is also presented by Cleveland Clinic Florida, the Honda Classic, Breakers Palm Beach, and South Florida Ford. Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken LaVica and Pierre Garcon. Presented by Creco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
The Dolphins are off tonight. No first-round pick for the Finns. They won't pick until selection number 102. They have Tyreek Hill. They've got their offensive linemen. They are set up. They've done some heavy lifting this offseason. They have two first-round picks next year, but I don't think Chris Greer likes to throw them around, though. I don't think those are coming into play over the next 3 days, but you never know. And that means that Dolphins fans are just paying attention to division rivals. Well, and by Dolphins fans, I mean me. That's what I'm paying attention here tonight. Because, again, as I explained earlier, I'm petty watching. And speaking of, if the 76ers-Raptors game is close, because I'm petty watching the 76ers as well, you can bet I'll be tuned into that if the Raptors can force a game seven, because go Heat as they sit in the training room and just soak. That's what we're doing. So NFL draft kickoff party here at PBKC along with Pierre Garcon. He just happened to lead the NFL in receptions in 2013. Former Colt, former Washington, at that time Redskin, but you've already adopted your name. I saw you roll that off the tongue, no problem.
Get used to it.
Getting used to it now. And San Francisco 49er, Pat Rooney Jr., president, PBKC, two high esteem men, and then me hanging out until 8 o'clock here on ESPN 106.3. Let's start here with wide receivers because, man, there are a ton of them in this draft, and there are a bunch of them, maybe up to seven, that are going in the first round. And we were discussing earlier some of the fits for some of these guys, and Garrett Wilson probably is going to be the first wide receiver taken out of Ohio State. I think Olave gets more press potentially, but Garrett Wilson is an absolute freak of nature. There is some thought that maybe the Jets get him if Debo isn't in the plans for them tonight.
I don't think Debo's in the plan for the Jets.
So you and Pierre Garcon is on the record. It is written down. We have recorded it. Debo is staying in San Francisco, according to Pierre Garcon. Breaking news. We are dispersing that on social media right now.
Breaking news.
Pierre Garcon claims that Debo Samuel
Debo will be upset if he goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
Everybody will be upset if he goes to the Jets.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do I have to? Are you sure there's not another deal somewhere else? Right. But Garrett Wilson and these Ohio State guys, let's just lump in Wilson and Olave. I mean, these are physical freaks. And you talk about guys with size. These are guys with size and speed and hands. And we saw it firsthand in the Rose Bowl, what they were able to do. I mean, any team that gets these guys, you got to feel like they've gotten better.
You know, Ohio State always put out great receivers. So that history is a good fitting for those guys, and any team will be happy to get those guys, especially early on in the draft. So I'm excited to see those guys perform well. I'm happy about, you know, Jameis Williamson.
Yeah,
the Alabama receiver. I saw him, you know, in the national championship game, just like everybody else, and I seen him move, and I was like, I was thoroughly impressed. You know, he doesn't have the size coming off an injury, but I was thoroughly impressed by how he moved, how he played, and I can see him being a take-to-the-house weapon anytime he touches the ball.
I'm kind of intrigued by the new trend of bringing college teammates in together. You've got Tua and Jalen Waddle. You, of course, have Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes,
and
yes.
That would mean that Jalen Hurts gets Jameson Williams. And so I see that, Pat, and I don't know if it's on purpose.
It's a good fitting.
Yeah.
It's a very good fitting.
I just kind of think that there are GMs that are starting to think, hey, yes, we saw these guys dominate in college. Why can't they dominate to the next level if they have a comfort level?
Well, I think Pierre can tell you this. Mm-hmm. I would think that they asked those quarterbacks, hey, you played with this guy. Is he all right? Can he work with us? And if you get that affirmation from the quarterback, yeah, why wouldn't you bring him in if you really like him otherwise? I think and then hopefully you have some kind of a rapport there, mm-hmm, right, so the kid can start, you know, participating and helping the team right off the bat.
How good was your
– he definitely will help right off the bat. If they're teammates from college.
So you like Jameson Williams a lot.
They would definitely – because in the NFL you need to be comfortable to be yourself. And if you have somebody on your team that you played with in college, you can ask them the crazy questions like, hey, where is the restroom at? Hey, when can we leave this meeting? Like, what's the plan going forward? Because if you know what's going on and you have somebody you can talk to vent to, you'll get further. When you don't know anybody, when you're a stranger, when you go out of town and you're the man, but you don't have no one that you can talk to openly, freely, you still have to figure it all out.
That's
having
a great
somebody
point
to lean on makes it so much easier. And the best relationship is quarterback to receiver in the game.
It's like a big brother, little brother type of relationship there. How good was your quarterback at Mount Union?
It was good.
It was no Peyton Manning, but yeah,
we made it work.
The scouting report from Pierre Garçon about his Mount Union quarterback is, we made it work.
He threw me the ball. My job was to take it to the house after that.
He got you the ball enough to get you seen. That's all that mattered in that spot. Your team, the Washington Commanders, perhaps Drake London or any number of these receivers, Drake London out of USC. Or Olave. Scary Terry and Olave in the same wide receiver core would be downright dangerous if Carson Wentz can
stay healthy,
pick them out, stay healthy, not be made of porcelain. Correct.
Might bring in Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. But for you, a wide receiver, and this being your team, I know you love Terry, and I know you love Olave. I mean, Drake London is real deal too.
Yes.
Like, if anything, it is on Carson Wentz, who has a decent line there. They made an Old Dominion quarterback productive this past season. There's almost going to be no excuse for the ball to be able to move, at least through the air, with that offense.
I think they definitely should get a receiver to help Carson Wentz. He's a veteran quarterback. Terry is an experienced receiver, a veteran receiver. So it's an easier step in for a first-round receiver to play right away for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah. I love this draft because, again, there's so many questions and we don't know and everything's all over the place, but it's so offensive tackle heavy and so wide receiver heavy, and I would argue that those two positions are just naturally, based on what's asked of them, the most day one ready positions in the NFL, just based on how many numbers are on the roster and what you can offensive tackles, you're either good or you're not. There's really no grooming process there. And a wide receiver, speed guys, there's always going to at least be a package. Even if they're raw, there's a package that can help from them. There's going to be a lot of these guys we hear tonight that are going to be playing in the first week of September.
Well, I think, Ken, you're exactly right. As opposed to even maybe 10 years ago, especially offensive tackles, they were given a little bit of a leeway to learn technique, you know, get their weight where the pro team wanted them, all that kind of stuff. But now I agree with you. Almost any position, if you're picked in the first round, they want you to play pretty much right away. You've devoted time, money, energy into them. The hype is already there. And a receiver, unlike an offensive tackle, I think, because you know the quickness and all that is just there. I think they have an easier time adjusting, if that's the correct term, to the NFL than an offensive tackle. But I still think they're both expected to contribute and contribute a lot right away. If you're picked in the first round, I think there's a lot of pressure on you.
When you were in Indy, especially your first couple of years before you really broke out, and it came time to sit down and it was draft time and the Colts are looking at guys, were you kind of eyeing any receivers they would have taken? Does it sort of pique your interest?
No, I was a fan of college football when I was younger in the NFL, but we know our team is on draft day. You don't know who the team's going to pick. There's a lot of projections the team needs, but on draft day, it's like whoever they pick is whoever they pick, and they have to show up.
I've got to think, depending on who they pick, you're like, I'm going to have to fight that guy for
a job. Every year you have to fight because they're bringing in free agents.
Even if you're established.
It's like, but, you know, I knew I got drafted, but I wasn't taking Reggie Wayne's spot.
Yeah, sure.
It was like, all right. But if you're not that guy, you're always in the fight. You have to do special teams events. You have to do everything to keep your spot because they're bringing in a younger guy regardless. And if that younger guy is at the same level as you are and you've been there 4 or 5 years, they're taking that younger guy. So you always have to keep getting better and keep being, you know, that number one receiver regardless.
Sure, sure. It's everything. So I would not be able to handle that pressure if there's constantly it's waves of people that want
to
come in and
you
take
get used
my
to
job.
It. You get used to it, honestly.
Man,
but you always keep working on yourself. It's the most important thing in the league. You get an opportunity, you have to overcome that. You have to overcome. You have to step up to the plate, and that's how you get more opportunities.
Sure.
That's how I took someone's spot. But actually, someone got hurt, but he never got the spot back because I kept doing well. I kept playing my game and kept stepping right into the occasion with the opportunities that he gave me.
When we return, we'll talk about the Jets. We'll talk about also some of the locals that are going to be drafted tonight here night one and just how fertile ground this is in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast when it comes to developing NFL talent, because that is going to be in the spotlight again tonight. Las Vegas is the NFL draft location. I think we should have a discussion, too, about Vegas and how you approach it, because for me, I'm old and washed, and I can't do the 3 a.m., 4 a.m. thing. I like a nice dinner, maybe a show, and then like a reasonable bedtime, but like that's going to be put to the test this week for some people that maybe are in my wheelhouse but are forced to be out till 4 or 5 a.m. We'll try and set out a game plan for those that might not know the true Vegas experience, okay? There's different approaches, I know. But I know both of you have been part of maybe a couple of different approaches in Vegas, so we'll just pick some brains here, okay? Pierre Garçon, Pat Renew Jr., I'm Ken Lavica. More of the NFL draft kickoff after this from PBKC, the beautiful Paddock Room on ESPN 106.3.
Welcome to the NFL draft.
Lamar. Devin Singletary, Traquan Smith, all local athletes who made it big in the NFL.
With the first pick.
The draft was the night that changed their lives. Who will be next?
The Miami Dolphins select.
This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken Lavica and Pierre Garçon. Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. Presented by Greco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
ESPN's Diana Russini tweeting the New York Giants and their GM Joe Schoen don't want to get, quote, too cute tonight, but they are, quote, very open to trading pick number 7. So the Giants, and we've heard that there are a number of teams that are willing to trade back because they think that the player they want is going to be maybe in the double digits here in round number 1, which is fascinating compared to most years where you're trying to trade up, you have a target, but a lot of teams are content to trade back so far in 2022. And as we continue on here from PBKC, the Paddock Room, it is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show, NFL Draft Party here at PBKC at the Paddock Room, along with Pierre Garçon, former Colt, Washington, San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowl touchdown catching wide receiver, Pat Rooney Jr., president of PBKC. I am Ken Lavica, and Pat, during the break, you said, I'm surprised that there haven't been any draft or any trades yet, and I agree. I thought that at least by 3, 4 o'clock we would have seen something, and now that we sit less than an hour away from Jacksonville jumping on the clock here to take Trayvon Walker, that's what the belief is, the Georgia defensive end, there's nothing. And I just wonder if everybody's waiting to see what Houston, what they do at 3. It appears as if the Texans might be the linchpin to either things staying put in this first round or them just completely throwing everything into chaos.
Well, I think a couple things are working for this particular draft, Ken. Some of the stuff I've read about this draft is picks 30 through 60 are almost as good as 1 through 30 in a lot of ways. So I think a lot of these teams, like you talked about the Giants, a lot of these teams that have 2 first-round picks are saying, listen, if we can get out of the first round and get into the 30 to 60 and maybe get 3 of those guys instead of getting 2 in the first – why wouldn't you do that? If all things being equal, the quality is generally the same. And then the second thing is a financial. If you can get 3 second-round picks or 1 first and 2 seconds, it's cheaper to get that than it is 2 first-round picks. So I think there might be some financial things going on here, and there's some just with the fact that the draft seems so deep into the 60, 70th player that these guys are like, hey, we can get a wide receiver, or we can get offensive lineman, or we could even get a quarterback in the second round that has somewhat of the same worth that a first-round guy does. So let's trade out if somebody really wants somebody and get us out of it. I think that's what you might be seeing happen here. But I do agree it's just very odd that we haven't seen any trading either one way or the other, up or down, with less than an hour to go before the first pick.
Yeah, this had all the earmarks of that being the case, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. You remember last year at this time, Pierre, all the discussion was nothing to do with the draft, and it was, where's Rodgers going? This was the day we found out last year in the Adam Schefter report that Aaron Rodgers had requested a trade from the Packers, and all hell broke loose after that. And the rest is history. We know what happened after that. He stayed. He won the MVP. He choked again in the postseason. You know, the normal Aaron Rodgers stuff. That's what he does. I'm seeing a lot on social media, too. We were talking about Jameson Williams and Alabama, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, all those guys. And there are NFL draft analysts sure that everybody knows they never played together, but a couple of those guys were in the same locker room together. And I think when it comes especially that Alabama program, even if they didn't play together, weren't there at the same time, they still know one another. It's been the same coach. It's not like it's been a regime change. It's very appropriate to mention Alabama guys with Alabama guys because of the nature of that program,
especially how close they are in age too, you know.
It's only a couple of years difference.
You can actually approach Jalen Hurts and just be like, hey, you know, how did you want me to run that route? Did I run that route correctly? Am I doing this correct? You know, because it's easier to talk to someone that, you know, come from the same school as you or that's transferred there. But it's important. I think the GMs should definitely look into that.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Putting Alabama guys with Alabama guys. And you know there's a culture there as well. And everybody latches
on. But you know Alabama wasn't known for their passing the ball.
That's true.
They're just known for just killing everybody and beating all the guys in the run game.
Being the best.
But, you know, I'll take the receiver and the quarterback. But, you know, it wasn't a Hawaii pass.
No. We're not talking Timmy Chang here or anything. You're right. But as Lane Kiffin said when he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, our practice squad could have beaten almost the entire SEC, and he is exactly right about that. So I want to discuss now the Jets because I'm paying a lot of attention to them.
You've been dying to do this.
I've been dying because, again, I need somewhere to focus my football brain with the Dolphins not picking tonight. The Jets have pick 4. The Jets have pick 10. The Dolphins beat out the Jets for Tyreek Hill with a package that did not feature a first-round pick. And it featured 5 picks, but not a first-round pick as we suspected. We thought maybe the Jets would be in the driver's seat with at least the 10, and Tyreek Hill decided to go to Miami. So that leaves a void at wide receiver, and the Jets are going to want to get this right. Debo is on the table. I know Pierre Garçon, breaking news, says that Debo Samuel is staying in San Francisco. He's going to remain a 49er. There are many who believe he might be headed to the Jets, and one of those picks, I mean, probably the 10th, because a 4th would be absolutely insane. I'm cheering for that. Get rid of the 4th for Debo. Overpay for him. I'm good with that. That's good. But it's going to happen tonight, I think, if it's going to happen. If you're the Jets, though, I just think there are so many holes. And you do have an Elijah Moore. And again, I'm rooting against them so badly, so badly. But you are much better off going to either get another wide receiver in the draft, maybe one of the Ohio State guys if they're on the board, going to get some help defensively, maybe a pass rusher in the opening 10 picks. You could even justify one of those offensive linemen. I just think that the Jets have bigger concerns than whether or not Debo Samuel is a target for Zach Wilson.
Wouldn't it be just Jet-like, though, to give up the 4th and maybe even the 10th to get Debo?
Oh,
wouldn't that just be typical?
I would have the happiest stroke of all time. Oh, my God, it would be amazing.
So I agree with Pierre. It's not what the Jets are willing. The Jets are willing to do something stupid. I don't think San Francisco, even that's a lot, though, to give up. But I don't think San Francisco wants to get rid of. Listen, I watched that game against Green Bay, the playoff game. Deebo Samuel was the team.
The entire team.
The game.
Yes.
Now, I agree with you. He's a hybrid. How do you slot him? Is he a wide receiver? And that's what San Francisco's making a mistake, because they're trying to jerk him around and say, well, you're a hybrid wide receiver, running back. Listen, this guy's a football player. He's one of the best football players in the league. You figure out a way to get him the ball and let him do his thing and shut up. Pay him whatever the hell he wants, because he's a football player that makes a difference. Well, that's what drives me nuts.
He's the most unique player in the league right now, I think.
Yeah, he is very, very unique. But, you know, San Francisco, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, they know he can't keep up this production for a long time.
Like anything, he's going to get figured out.
Even if you figure him out, you can't take all those hits. You can't take all those yards. You can't carry the ball that many times.
Okay.
You can't catch that many passes for 18 games. 1 year, catch everybody off guard, but – they're going to start hitting you harder. You're going to take a lot longer to recover. Like,
so
we saw it happening. I think he had a problem in the NFC Championship. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot.
That would mesh then with the NFL Network reports when it first came out that he had requested a trade, that he doesn't want it. He doesn't want as many touches, at least in the run game, as he was getting. My contention is, and this is a tough spot, and I get it, and he wants the bag, and he deserves the bag, and he sees what Tyreek Hill is getting paid and what Devontae Adams is getting paid. But what makes Deebo Samuel a 5 draft pick in exchange type of player, or a Devontae Adams in that Galaxy Tyreek Hill money, is his versatility and carrying the football. Deebo Samuel, the wide receiver, is not as valuable as Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill, the sole wide receiver.
He is very valuable. He just doesn't have the same quarterback. They feel like Deebo Samuel is a football player. They just couldn't get him the ball enough.
Is he a number one receiver?
Yes, yes. He catches the ball and takes it to the house. He gets yards that he's not supposed to get. You know, that's why they give him the ball at running back. Like, hey, go get more yards, because we can't give you the ball. Our playbook doesn't set us up like Devontae Adams. He sets up an inside. He sets up outside. He goes in. Like, he has a rapport with Aaron Rodgers. Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill. He, you know, anytime he catches the ball, it's lights out.
I see.
Deebo, you can do some stuff, but their offense is not set up the same way as a pass-heavy offense.
Uh-huh.
Tyreek has Pat Mahomes. Devontae Adams has Aaron Rodgers. Jimmy G is not a pure passer.
Right. I wonder what the value is. Like, what are you giving up? What are you giving up for a Deebo if you're the Jets? Because if you look at what the Dolphins got sent for Tyreek Hill, the Jets can't give up one of those 2 picks for Deebo unless they get into true desperation mode. I mean, they can. We know their history of being dumb. But they could. But it doesn't make sense based on what the Dolphins gave away to get Tyreek Hill.
No, I completely agree with you. But again, that's why the Jets are the Jets. They do outrageous, borderline dumb things a lot, and that's why they've been where they're at in the standings a lot. So it wouldn't surprise me if they offered one of those picks for him. My whole thing is, if I'm Deebo, though, listen, all the money in the world is great, but would you want to go to the Jets? I mean, you know what you're getting with them. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson isn't probably the answer. So you're going to go there and get paid a ton of money, and I don't know. I think – to me, Deebo just seems like the ultimate type of competitor guy that wants to win. That's what I saw on the field in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. This guy was willing to do whatever it took to win a game. Are you going to want to go to the Jets now and play with that team and all there's a challenge there, but you got to be realistic and say, I'd rather go to a team, you know, that's maybe a little bit on the rise, that I think I can put them over the top, or even an established team that I know has a chance at the Super Bowl. But I just think Deebo's probably, whatever leverage he has, is probably going to be like, you can trade me anywhere, but I'm not going to the Jets.
He just want to go to a quarterback.
Yeah. Zach Wilson is probably not the quarterback he had in mind.
Zach doesn't have enough experience.
Right. Are you high on Zach Wilson?
I like the way he throws the ball. I haven't watched as many. You know, I'm more of an arm strength, you know, that kind of quarterback. You know, playbooks and stuff, you can figure it out. But I like the way, how confident he is in throwing the ball.
So again, the draft is about 45 minutes away. The first pick going to Jacksonville, and it's the Jaguars picking number one again. It's deja vu. Last year it was Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer had that pick. This year Doug Peterson has this pick. It is clear the Jaguars are nowhere close to contending in any way, shape, or form. Trayvon Walker is really good. Is he transcendent? I don't know. Can he be a good player? Yes. Number one pick, one we'll remember for all time. Doubt it. But when you're the Jaguars like this and you have specific needs, that's definitely a specific need. But they are such a distance away. It is very difficult to put this pick in any proper perspective with building the franchise because they got the franchise quarterback last year. And then Urban Meyer and all that drama just destroyed any good feeling. And I think any sort of emergence that Trevor Lawrence was going to make, if I'm a Jags fan, great. But Jesus, do I need to see a whole lot more from this franchise in a multitude of ways?
Well, I think, Ken, in the NFL especially, sometimes it is only one or two guys, and all of a sudden you're competitive. Look at Cincinnati. They were terrible, awful. I mean, couldn't have been more of the dregs of society. You get Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, all of a sudden, hey, we're in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say that's what's going to happen to Jacksonville, but Jacksonville wasn't that bad just a few years ago. They should have beat New England to go to the Super Bowl. The NFL, that's what's great about the NFL and why I think fans love it. You can turn it around fairly quickly, with the exception of the Detroit Lions. You can turn it around fairly quickly and actually be in contention and maybe even get into the Super Bowl if a couple things fall for you. They got Trevor Lawrence. He's a hell of a player. They had a running back from Clemson, too, Travis Etienne, who was hurt all last year. He's going to play next year. If this kid's really good, which I think he is from Georgia – sometimes it just takes a couple guys to get in there, and then you got a coach that won a Super Bowl and can gel these guys. Again, I'm not saying they're going to shoot to the Super Bowl next year, but they might surprise you. They have the ingredients, at least, to be competitive next year.
They should make a run for Debo.
Jackson.
Debo wouldn't mind going there.
You don't think?
That's not
crazy. Oh, Trevor Lawrence, yeah.
Not crazy. Debo, that's a team I'm talking about that they might view like sort of has a chance to get on the rise, and I'm going to get in there and help them get there.
They should make a run for Debo.
He can be a cornerstone. He plays with a chip on shoulder. That's the ultimate place to go with a chip on your shoulder. Trevor can throw. We absolutely know that. That's the truth. And that gives you a dependable target right away. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like that. That is good. That is good.
Debo wouldn't be too mad about that.
He'd be mad about the Jets. That says a lot when the Jets, it's like, what the hell? The Jacks is like, all right, I'll take it. It's fine. It's all good. We can make it work. It's no problem. But I wonder how much, and we love the draft, and we love the buildup to it, and we love the pomp and circumstance in Vegas and the Bellagio pool and Goodell and all that stuff. We love it. But what the Rams did, where they used free agency to build a champion, and these teams, and the Dolphins are doing it now too, where it's going all in for a potential short-term, maybe two-year window, maybe three if you're stretching it, but you know you're in a potential championship situation, and then you'll figure it out down the road. I wonder how that alters approaches for some teams as well. And the Rams can put out all of these great Hollywood-produced videos they want to get their fans excited about the draft, but we know the Rams aren't in the business of the draft now. The Rams are very much in the business of throwing money at free agents and building things around veteran players. That has changed, at least initially, and like the NFL, things always come in waves, and right now we're in a wide receiver wave. We were in a tight end wave. This will pass as well. We'll go back to building from the draft, but right now it seems like the draft for some teams is just a little bit of an afterthought, and if they hit, great. If not, we'll be okay because we're going to spend money.
Well, these guys are in the win-now situation. You know, Sean McVay had a big story coming into L.A. You know, he was getting close. Kyle Shanahan getting close. You know, Mike LaFleur getting close has not been the thing anymore. It's like, hey, we're going all in, and we're going to push all our chips forward, and we got to win the Super Bowl. And that ended up happening for
– I guess when there's pressure on a team to finally realize expectations.
And I think that's what Mike McDaniel did when he went all in on Tyreek. He's like, hey, we're trying to win now.
Yeah.
Like, this is – we can't wait. There's no development time. Just like first-round picks, there's development time. It used to be, but now it's like, hey, we're paying you – go develop, go play, go get us the ball in the end zone.
The only patient franchise in the NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just wonder with Pittsburgh, because it seems like this isn't a rebuild, but it's definitely a retooling. And there are definitely holes with this team. And when you're considering willingly Baker Mayfield on a one-year rental, potentially, this isn't the Steelers of yesteryear, right? This isn't the Steelers I grew up with, okay? Or Pat even knew like 5 years ago.
Well, listen, again, is that going to happen? More than likely not, that Baker's going to end up there. My whole thing is just almost from a fan standpoint, I'm just looking, is this guy going to be motivated to play? Yes, and especially in that division. As for the Steelers, you're exactly right. This is going to be an odd offseason with the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, and it's going to be an even odder next year, because for the first time in a long, long time, we're going to have the fourth best quarterback in the division. And that, again, going back to my original point, that's what makes the engine go in the NFL, is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one, you're trying to get one. Those other three teams have one. We don't. So it's going to be a very odd year. It's going to be that's why I go back to, we don't need to reach for a quarterback this year. There's plenty of quarterbacks next year and the year after that that are supposed to be really good. Let's start going the old Chuck Knoll philosophy of building the defensive line. Get that defensive so you're stopping the run, you're containing to somewhat the quarterback, you know, running around, and build it that way, and then get your quarterback rather than reach for it this year. But we've got a lot of holes. I think for the first time in a long time, Mike Tomlin's really going to have to study the film and do what he needs to do, because those other teams in our division are better than we are.
Yeah. Does the Steeler fan base, and I know that it's so lazy to have one person speak for an entire fan base, but starting from square one in the draft to try and rebuild a defense, is that patience there to where I know that Tomlin, one of the things is that, you know, the last couple of years it's been, why is Tomlin still here? Why is he still the head coach? Why there? It's questions have started a little bit with Tomlin, but he's got a contract in tow and life is good for him. Is the patience there collectively to be able to take 3 or 4 years and get this thing right again?
First time last year, Ken, we didn't sell out every game. We sold out. We had no shows. First time in a long time. First time in a long time our local TV ratings were down. Mm-hmm. What do you think that's signaling? It's signaling the fan base, like, hey, this product isn't exciting.
Apathy
us.
Starting you to lock in a bit.
You cannot have that in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Trust me, they got nothing else going on there. The Pirates stink, and the Penguins are okay, but
right.
They got no basketball. The weather's terrible. They had nothing else in Pittsburgh but football. So that's why I think you saw a little bit this year in the offseason, Steelers going out and getting Miles Jack, getting Levi Wallace, getting guys we would never pay for anybody like we've been paying this offseason, even though we finally had some money to spend in free agency. I think there's some of that is resonating with, you know, the ownership and my family, and being like, hey, we got to get eyeballs on the field again, on the TVs. And that's why I'm a little bit worried they might reach for a quarterback, because maybe we feel a little bit of the pressure to start bringing bodies back into the seats and on the TVs again.
Sure.
And I hope that isn't the case, because, again, I think you can build – what we've done in the offseason, and if we get a couple really good stud defensive guys, I think the team can be competitive next year. I don't think we're winning the division or playing for the Super Bowl, but you're building that. You're starting that process. To answer your question, yeah, I think the Steeler fan base is generally knowledgeable enough to know, hey, this probably isn't a Super Bowl team, but we're putting the pieces in place that if we can get a quarterback down the line, we're going to be ready to get there. You get a quarterback now and you don't, still can't stop the run, it ain't going to matter. You're going to get trampled by teams,
right?
Especially in our division next year. So I think they're smart enough to realize it's a process and it's going to take a little patience, and hopefully our guys that are picking tonight realize that too.
Pierre, the dynamic between a quarterback and a wide receiver. So I know earlier I said the Dolphins didn't give up a first-round pick. It was the late first round. It was number 29. The Chiefs have that now. But the Dolphins gave up four Tyreek Hill, 29, 50, second-round pick. Fourth-round pick, another fourth-round pick, and then a sixth-round pick. Both of those two that I mentioned in the finality there are in 2023, next year's draft. That's what the Dolphins gave up for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But the one first-round pick was 29. That's like on the precipice of first and second round. We're talking about fourth and tenth right now with the Jets for Deebo Samuel. So if they send five picks and one of them is the tenth, they've already paid more for him than what the Dolphins did for Tyreek Hill, who has spent several years as one of the biggest threats in the NFL receiving the football. But you've got a rookie or a second-year quarterback who did not play a good portion of his rookie year because he was banged up and for a variety of reasons, and you're bringing in a veteran, a guy like Debo, who, like you said, he's a team guy, wants to win, competitive, but he also, he's going to want the ball. He's going to want to be number one guy. But then you've got Tyreek Hill, who's been the dude, who had Patrick Mahomes, who's coming in, and Tua, this is very much a show-me-this-season Daniel Jones-type situation, because if Tua doesn't perform this year and the Dolphins fall short of expectations, it's bye-bye Tua. What what situation, hypothetically, would be a better quarterback wide receiver marriage, depending on what plays out tonight? Zach Wilson and Debo potentially, or Tua, Tyreek Hill?
That's tough.
It is tough. But I think it's two different dynamics.
Yes, it's not the quarterback situation. I'd take Zach Wilson over Tua.
Just from a pure quarterback standpoint.
Pure quarterback. But
I'll pretend you didn't say that. That's fine.
But for the team, you know, it's just so much that goes around the Jets where, you know, those two guys just can't fix the organization. Now, Tua and Tyreek have a better chance of, you know, turning things around in Miami because, you know, those two guys just got to get on the same page and score touchdowns.
Right.
So, man, I feel bad for Debo, man. He's just in a bad position.
Should he have just kind of –
Well, he just wants to get paid in San Francisco. Like, hey, we don't have to pay you now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tonight's the night,
like,
though.
He's like, I don't want to get hurt. And he won't ever pay me.
Right, right. I mean, tonight's
the night. He wants to be in San Francisco. They're going to give him the ball. We just need to give him the check.
Get the contract. Yeah, I was going to say, make sure that direct deposit hits while you're giving me the ball as well. Pierre Garçon, former Colt, former Washington Redskin, now Commander, and also San Francisco 49er. I'm Ken Lavica. Pat Rooney Jr., President PBKC. When we return, we get closer and closer to the draft. We'll see if some of these trades have come to fruition, but it all looks like it's coming down to Houston. What's going to happen at 3? What is going to happen subsequently after that? What will the butterfly effect be potentially from that? So we've got a lot still to come, including a look at the top 10 here in the draft and the way things may shake out. So we are at PBKC. We're in the beautiful Paddock Room. TVs are all over the place. It is jammed with TVs. The draft is on the all-you-can-eat buffet. All we need is you to come out here, hang with us, the NFL draft party in the Paddock Room at PBKC. This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show on ESPN 106.3.
And in the first round of the NFL Draft, ESPN 106.3 selects... The NFL Draft Big Week is presented by PNC Bank. They're changing the way you handle overdraft fees with low cash mode. It's one way. We're helping to make a difference. NFL Draft Week on ESPN 106.3 is also presented by Cleveland Clinic Florida, the Honda Classic, Breakers Palm Beach, and South Florida Ford.
Whether it's a clutch touchdown pass, a game-winning dunk, or an impressive dash to the finish, we want to highlight the best performance of the week. Presented by Baptist Health South Florida. Every week we'll be highlighting different teams across ESPN 106.3 and WPTV. The winning performance will receive $500 courtesy of Baptist Health South Florida. Do you know of a team, player, or school with a killer performance? Nominate them today by emailing highschool@espnwestpalm.com. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Go where the pros go.
Now at DQ Grill and Chill, enjoy the new and improved Stack Burger menu, featuring the loaded A1 Signature Steakhouse Burger and the Bacon 2 Cheese Deluxe Signature Stack Burger. They've got an all-star lineup of your favorite blizzards, treats like Oreo Dirt Pie, Girl Scout Thin Mint, and Nestle Drumstick. And for the first time ever, the DQ S'mores Shake with fluffy marshmallow, graham crackers, and chocolatey shavings blended into shake perfection. DQ Grill and Chill, now with two locations, 4828 Lake Worth Road and US 1 just south of North Lake.
Sports Talk lives here on ESPN 106.3.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From virtual visits to safe practices in our facilities, we're delivering world-class neurology care from South Florida to the Treasure Coast for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/access.
Hey, it's Jam Pete. We feel your pain when it comes to gas prices. That's why ESPN 106.3 and Greco Chevrolet of Delray Beach are here to help. Introducing Gas on Greco. One lucky fan each month will get that month's gas paid for by Greco Chevy Delray Beach. Every Thursday at 6 p.m. during my interview with Mike Tannenbaum, listen for the Greco Secret Word of the Week. Take that word, go to GrecoGas.com, send in the word, and you are in the running for free gas. Gas on Greco from Greco Chevrolet Delray Beach and the station where it pays to listen, especially at the pump. ESPN 106.3. Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken LaVica and Pierre Garcon. Presented by Greco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
I'm not going to lie, the visuals from Las Vegas right now with the Bellagio and the fountains and the pool and all the fans, I'm having a serious case of FOMO right now. That looks awesome. And I do miss the days of Radio City Music Hall and the first round of the draft starting on Saturday morning and the way things used to be. But if you're the NFL, and I get it, how can you pass up an opportunity like this to have your first round of the draft and have the whole your whole entire draft in Las Vegas? I mean, come on.
It was really cool, Ken. I was out there last week, and as they were setting things up in the Bellagio in the fountain, I was like, how are they going to do this? How are they putting this stage? Like right in the, but they did it. It's really a cool setting, and I can't imagine the strip must be a zoo right
yeah,
now.
It's
with
chaos.
People, just trying to line up. But you're right, I'm old school. I love the old days when it started at noon. The first round went like 7 hours, and then you got up the next day and you went through, you know, the rest of the rounds. But this is sort of where I think the NFL had to evolve into, because it's so popular, like Nashville when they had it, Philadelphia, Chicago. Those fans love this.
Yeah.
And so I get it, but I do miss the old, you know, having my Mel Kiper draft guide and everything else, and just, you know, grinding out for
right.
two straight days.
Right. And Pierre, I know you'll appreciate this. If the NFL could make Cleveland look cool last year with the draft, then they can do absolutely anything.
They did. They definitely do a good job of, you know, showing the love all around the city to different fans. And, you know, we definitely need that as the NFL to grow the fan base and to get everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And so speaking of getting everybody involved, Palm Beach County Treasure Coast, I hope there's special attention paid tonight to Evan Neal, who is an Okeechobee product. He's going to go top 10, might go top 5.
Awesome.
Some think he's the first offensive tackle that's going to be taken in the draft. And then there's Kyir Elam. And all of us go way back with the Elam family, whether it's Abe or Matt, who I called a lot of his football games at Dwyer when he was in high school. Kyir, I've called his games at Benjamin High School, at Benjamin School. And now he's going to get taken, it looks like, mid-first round tonight. It makes you proud.
Oh,
and if to hear someone from Palm Beach County who played at John I. Leonard, like yourself, Pierre, to hear you talk about the tradition continuing of guys from this area realizing their dream, that's got to be a really special thing for you.
It's a great feeling, especially those guys. Those guys are probably going in the first round.
Yeah,
that's even greater accomplishment. You know, just to get drafted, just to play in the NFL, and just, you know, having other local guys to be in that same room, to be around, it's a great feeling, and you're very happy for them and their family, because they put in a lot of work to be in that position.
I mean, representing their communities, and I always find it fascinating. The backgrounds are so different. I mean, last year we had Steelers legend Santonio Holmes in here, Pat, and representing the Muck, and there's such a pride, not only that the community has for him, but he also has for it, remembering where he came from. Same thing with Pierre. Pat, that's the most striking thing to me. I am not lifelong Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast, but I am the last 17 years Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast, and it's amazing how reciprocal it is in most situations, because that's not wholly common.
No, you're right. And this is a special place. I've been here 30 years now, and coming from Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, again, obviously those areas have roots with players, especially Western PA with quarterbacks and football players there. But this area definitely is special. You know, you got Anquan Bold. You got a lot of guys that recognize, hey, I came from something, might have been a tough upbringing, but I fought through it. I made something of myself, and I want to go back and give something back to that. My son got to play with Kyer at Benjamin, and couldn't have been a nicer kid. You could tell right away that he was special.
He just looked different.
He was a physical specimen at age 16.
Right.
And the biggest thing I remember about Kyer, I think it was their senior year, they got in the playoffs, and we had to go play Miami Chaminade down in Broward County. And these kids came out, and you could tell right away this was not going to be a game.
Yeah, it's Alabama.
Kyer played that whole damn game. We got beat 66 to nothing, and it could have been 100 to nothing.
Yeah.
And I give Kyer a lot of credit. He played that whole game as hard as you could play, knowing we didn't really have a chance to win it. And that tells me something about – I don't know what kind of NFL player he's going to be. He was pretty good in college. But it just tells you about the internal fortitude of him to play at a place like Benjamin, and you know, could have gone anywhere, absolutely, and went to a small school, Benjamin, and to help them get to the playoffs.
You know, when you think about this county and you think about some of the talent that has come out, Pierre, and the fact that it continues to get churned out and the talent continues to come out of here, I know that there's a lot of pride for South Florida, and we obviously revel in that. But the 5-6-1 in particular and the 7-7-2 in particular, I think that sometimes it falls in the shadow of the 954 and the 305, Miami and Broward County. And there is more than enough that has come from here to write a long book about some absolute legends that have come through here.
And that was a great feeling when I was coming up, because there were guys that did it before me that are from the same area.
Who did you look up to as a young receiver at John I. Letter? Fred Taylor?
As a young receiver, I saw Santonio Holmes take a slant. Glade Central against John I. Letter. I saw Santonio Holmes take a slant, and he's been doing that ever since.
Yeah, right.
And that was his trademark. I was like, wow. I was like, this guy's fast.
But Fred Taylor, that was
way before.
Young period, yes. Or some period, like, yes. You're looking up
yes.
to him.
Yes, I'm just watching football, and they're like, yeah, Fred Taylor's from Belgium. I'm like, he is? Uh-huh. I love him even more now. Because, you know, I was just watching Sunshine Network, and before UF was playing.
Yeah.
And he was that guy at UF, and they're like, yeah, he's from Belgium. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, Anquan Boldin, you know, of course, like, you know, he was Mr. Football. Like, in the state of Florida, Mr. Football is a big thing.
For sure.
And he was great at basketball, too. So I was just a big fan of, you know, those guys. And they inspired me, to tell you the truth, because I knew somebody from my hometown did it, so I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. I just get a kick out of when everybody comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, Pierre came back. Santonio came back.
It's a great place.
Anquan came back. I was going to say, it's not like coming back is a tough sell. But, again, that's not everywhere. And there's such a part of the community. And even guys that maybe didn't have the type of careers that you had or a Santonio had, but they all know one another. There's a network, and they communicate. And Pat, you've been through plenty of that as well in working with them. But it makes it nice when you want to do something for the community that you have guys that are invested in it. And I have no reason to believe that Evan and Kyer aren't going to be the same.
Well, you know, we do a lot of charity events. And obviously, football players are a big pull. If we can get them to come play at our golf tournament or come, you know, to do, you know, a speaking event or whatever. And I would say, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, if I ask somebody from the Palm Beach region or the Glades or whatever to come speak, and I'll say, all right, what do we need to give you to come? 9 times, it's not something personal. It's like, hey, I've got a foundation or I've got a charity out in the Glades or whatever, and if you can just help with that, and trust me, we're happy to do that. And that's what makes, I think, this area great, but it makes those guys that come from this area part of it. The reason why it's great is because most of the time they're very selfless. It's like, don't give it to me. Give it to this group that's going to help these kids to get to where I am right now, or at least give them a chance to do it. And that's what I really like. Anytime I'm dealing with anybody from this area, it's almost not even a question. It's like, you know, just trying to help this group that I'm trying to help. And that's what's so much fun about doing these events, because you know you're helping other kids at least try and get a chance to make some of themselves.
When it comes to draft night, this is everyone's dream, obviously, especially in the first round, to walk across, shake the commissioner's hand, all of that. But I think, and we were discussing earlier the life of an undrafted free agent during the draft weekend, lived a dream, but it didn't happen maybe exactly how you envisioned it. But once you got into the league, you absolutely made the most of it,
yes.
Culminating in not only the Super Bowl touchdown catch, but also that free agent contract. Like, you got, we've been talking about getting the bag. You got the bag. You were able to earn that. Mm-hmm. What would you say to players, high school players, or even entering college or in college that are from this area in particular that want to follow your lead, that may be discouraged about how the path is going because it doesn't necessarily fit what the blueprint has tended to be to realize that dream?
You know, I would tell them to just honestly to love the game, be a student of the game. It's so easy to get caught up in, like, what's going on right now, why are you missing out? But when you become a student of a game, when you love the game, you can pay more attention. You can plan more stuff out. You can get better by focusing on it. I'll tell them to be consistent. Being consistent is the only thing that's going to get you better. My first 2 years, I dropped a lot of passes. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting a lot of passes in practice. That's why I wasn't catching the ball. But I decided to make a plan of catching passes before practice and after practice to get my passes, because those opportunities are going to come. Because on game day, you don't know what position you're going to be playing. You're just going to be presented with an opportunity, and you will be judged by what you do in that opportunity. So that's what I would tell them. Just love the game, plan it out, and be consistent, because, you know, the opportunities are going to come. You're on the right track.
Pierre, can I ask a quick question? When you got drafted,
yes.
I'm going to ask you two questions. First, so you get drafted in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. Was there a point where you're just like, I'd rather not get drafted so I can go where I want to go?
No.
All right, so you want to get drafted.
No. We never know if we're really going to get drafted. We get a lot of phone calls, but we are like, hey, draft me, because there's some commitment.
Right, that's true.
But they don't have much commitment, but you're like, all right, I was drafted. That's a title.
I got you. Second, when did you know you could play in the NFL? Like, was there a moment in training camp or something where you're like, I can play with these guys?
That's a great question. I knew I can play in the NFL. It was just I was uncomfortable. I was D3. I even doubted myself, thinking that I don't belong here. But I knew I was physically stronger than Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. I was faster than those guys. I just had to get comfortable with the playbook, with the lingo that they had in their locker room. My second year, I was like, all right, this is not new to me now. I know when they call 90-91, I know what play that is. When they call 3-jet, I know what's going on, kind of. I know who's my hot route. Now I'm ahead of the game instead of playing catch-up. So I was like, all right, I'm physically gifted. Now I understand the lingo. Now let's, you know, take over. Be yourself. Take it to the house. That was always my thing, trying to take whatever pass I get to the house. So that's the second year I was like, all right, I'm learning. Now I'm going to play.
Yeah, sure. I mean, hanging your hat on, you mentioned hanging your hat on getting drafted, but even if it got to the point of undrafted free agent, I mean, you're prepared in that spot. I know for FAU, I do the play-by-play for FAU football, Cravon LeBlanc, we thought he was a lock to be drafted, and then it didn't happen. All seven rounds happened, no Cravon. He got a call the next day. I feel like it's got to be a short memory. As frustrating as it might be, it's got to be a short memory.
The whole NFL is a short memory. It's what you do next. It's not what happened in the past. What can you do? That's what they pay people on their potential. So, you know, the free agency, the undrafted guys, it's tough, because if you have a good agent, he's already preparing deals because he's seeing the trajectory.
Yeah, that you might making the calls.
Hey, they really want you. Hey, they're offering this as a free agent contract. So you're kind of like, hey, what's your value? You want a perfect fit, or do you want the guaranteed money?
Right.
Because, you know, some players don't know what way to go, because this is your first time being undrafted. So if you have an experienced agent, he can already have a pre-idea of where you're going to go, where you're going to sign. And obviously, you know, you still have to play. You still have to show up to OTA rookie minicamp and perform. And hopefully they keep you and you keep performing. But it's uncertainty. Draft day is uncertainty. Yeah. We still don't know who the first pick will be.
Right. Well, they were going to be drafted on undrafted free agents that go and play with Aaron Rodgers this year. Going to be drafted undrafted free agents to go play with Matthew Stafford this year. Any number Tom Brady this year. Any number of Hall of Fame players.
Yes.
What was it like when Peyton Manning got mad at you?
I was scared. I was nervous. Luckily, I didn't run into him a lot because he wasn't throwing to me.
Yeah,
I was just staying out of the way but learning. But, you know, even when he said something, I was like, you talking to me? Is he really talking to me? Because, you know, I'm not sure if I belonged. I'm still uncomfortable. I was like, hey, this guy went to D3. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Sorry.
Yeah.
It wasn't my choice, but, you know, I'm here now.
Right.
What would you like me to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's forget the past. Let's talk about what I can do now. Yeah.
Sir, we can have a transaction here. You throw me the ball and I can catch it. Pat, you said you've been here for 30 years, Palm Beach County. And again, Pierre Garcon, Pat Rooney Jr., president of PBKC. It is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show here on ESPN 106.3. Now that another Elam is getting drafted. Abe had a great NFL career, and he defied a lot of odds with that NFL career. Matt Elam was a first-round draft pick, and while his career was shorter than maybe some expected, he had moments with Baltimore. And then now Kyer is going to go in as a first-round draft pick. Are the Elams the first family of football in Palm Beach County?
That is a very good question.
They may have earned the moniker tonight.
I mean, you're just throwing the numbers out there. I'm racking my brain right now trying to think if anybody's had three people from the same family in the NFL like that. And you're probably right. I mean, you know, those guys are always around. They were always around. They were always in the stands. They were always encouraging, not imposing themselves on anything, not trying to tell the coach what to do or anything like that. But they were always there for support. And I think that's so important for a young man trying to make it in something as difficult as the NFL, to know that, number one, you know, your dad or your uncle or whoever made it, but then they're also there, not big time in you or anything. They're like, we want you to make it.
It's a support system.
Here's what you got to do.
Sure.
And they were there. They were there for every practice, every game, encouraging Kyer. And I think that's a big reason why he's going to get picked in the first round.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to it. We'll take a break. Before that, though, we'll check in with Mike Tannenbaum, our football insider, former VP of football operations for the Dolphins, former Jets GM. And Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on ESPN 106.3.
Draft day, first round, Las Vegas, and our man is Mike Tannenbaum. You'll hear him tonight, ESPN 106.3, ESPN's national draft coverage, and he is in Vegas in advance of tonight's pick, the number one overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are on the clock. I do want to ask you, what's the scene like in Vegas right now, Mike?
It's pretty exciting. You know, this is going to be a great night for the NFL. A lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. Place is absolutely just and it's something that the league is trying to get back out post-pandemic, and should be a great evening for these young men that richly deserve their opportunity.
So this is going to be the 347th time you've gotten this question over the last 3 weeks on all of your ESPN platforms, but I do think it's relevant because it's still fluid. Who, according to Mike Tannenbaum, is the first quarterback to go tonight?
To me, it's Kenny Pickett from Pitt. Now, Malik Willis will be close, they're sort of 1 and 1A on different teams' boards, so we'll see how it goes. But I think those two guys are really close. One's from Liberty, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett from Pitt, the 4-year starter.
So Malik Willis, where do you think, of the teams that may be looking for quarterbacks or want to trade up and grab Malik Willis, where do you think he's the best fit?
You know, if he could sit for a year at Pittsburgh behind Mitch Trubisky with great coach like Mike Tomlin, I think that's really good for him long term. If I was representing Malik Willis, I would try to get to the best place I could long-term.
When it comes to Debo, because we're going to hear his name a bunch tonight, do you think that he does move? Do you think after tonight he's no longer a 49er?
I think there's a reasonable chance. I think if they think about, hey, you know what, we can't solve the problem, like, let's go try to get a first-round pick and cut our losses.
Here with Mike Tannenbaum, our football insider in Vegas, part of ESPN's national coverage of the draft on radio. He is the top analyst, the head analyst tonight. You'll hear him on ESPN 106.3. When it comes to Baker Mayfield, where does he fit into all of this over the next couple of days?
I could see him as a Seattle Seahawk. I could see him as a Carolina Panther. I think at some point, possibly they would cut him if they can't make a trade. So I think that's going to come to head in the coming days here.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's going to be resolved before the weekend is done. That number one pick, it seems like we're starting to get a consensus that it's Trayvon Walker from Georgia. What sets him a little bit apart from Aiden Hutchinson, who appears to be the consensus number two?
Probably a little athleticism. I actually would take Hutchinson over Walker, but people are falling in love with his measurables, his character, work ethic. They're both going to be good players, but I would take Hutchinson because of his production over Walker.
And I do want to ask you about Kyler Murray. The Cardinals are picking up his fifth-year option. Does that mean there's going to be an end to the drama, or is this right now just a temporary reprieve from what probably is still to come in soap opera land?
Yeah, I just think it's a placeholder for now.
Mike Tannenbaum, if you could, please give us a word on Greco Chevy.
They are the first pick overall of a car dealing experience, car shopping experience, being located on Federal Highway in Delray Beach. They have a great selection of cars. I bought my Chevy Tahoe there, a very fair price, great experience, great service. They're best in class. Ron and his crew are a first round pick overall if you're looking to buy a car.
Mike, awesome stuff. Enjoy Vegas. Can't wait to hear you on the national ESPN broadcast.
Broadcasting live from the Paddock Room at the Palm Beach Kennel Club on ESPN 106.3. This is the NFL Draft Kickoff Show with Ken LaVica and Pierre Garcon. Presented by Creco Chevrolet Delray Beach, Palm Beach Kennel Club, PNC Bank, Breakers Palm Beach, South Florida Ford, Twin Peaks, Cleveland Clinic Florida, and the Honda Classic.
I am all in on Sauce Gardner, the corner out of Cincinnati. That chain that he's wearing tonight with the diamond-encrusted bottle, that's legit. That is legit stuff for Sauce Gardner, who has been linked with any number of teams. I've seen the Jets in there, the Giants in there. Seen a number of squads that have maybe been linked with Sauce Gardner, who many believe is the top corner in this draft. And we are getting closer. The crowds are huge there in Vegas. The number one pick is Jacksonville. We think it's going to be Trayvon Walker, the defensive end out of Georgia. Then Garcon, former sixth-round draft pick, 2008. Pat Rooney Jr., the president of PBKC. And, Pierre, I was looking during the break of the 2008 draft and just looking at the wide receivers. The first wide receiver wasn't taken until round two in 2008. 33rd overall to the Rams. Donnie Avery was the first receiver taken in the 2008 draft.
He had a good combine. That's why he got drafted.
He had a very good combine. And then after that, Devin Thomas, Michigan State, went to the Washington Redskins. Yep. And then the third receiver taken, there was a run of three receivers and four picks. Jordy Nelson went to the Packers, and he had an okay career.
Yeah, he was pretty decent. Had a great quarterback.
Yeah. That was helpful. That was definitely helpful. And then I look at Pierre. So, again, sixth round for Pierre Garcon. You were taken 205 by the Colts, and I'm telling you, other than Matt Flynn in that general area, and you could argue, like, your contract was a lot more deserved than Matt Flynn's. It just so happened he played quarterback.
Yep.
There's really nobody around there that Justin Harper, wide receiver, Ravens at 215. Stevie Johnson, he had a pretty good career. He went to the Bills at 224 in the seventh round, and then that's it. You're an incredible success story in this spot.
I appreciate it.
Man, you went on to star with Peyton Manning. You caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You realized a draft dream even if it was on the phone. Like, it was all good.
It was a great story that was written. I enjoyed living it out, but I loved the game of football. That was the number one thing. Like, I enjoyed everything about football. I enjoyed watching film. I enjoyed working out for football. I enjoyed the games more than anything else. So it was easy for me to do that part. Planning and being consistent on it. It was just naturally just to plan everything around football. It was football season and off season.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, hey, this is winter, this is summer, this is spring. It was football season and off season. In the off season, you're doing your workouts. It's the same way the team has a plan for you. Like, our schedule is a plan. Like, all right, we're gonna go to Green Bay in the wintertime, but we got to get ready for that. We're going to play Miami in the summertime, so we got to get ready for that. So everything we planned around. So I kept it going with my off-season life, and I kept consistent, and it turned out 11 years later.
Yeah, it definitely turned out.
Ken, I think it's fair to say that Pierre is the Antonio Brown of the 2007 draft.
Yes.
Another sixth round.
Yeah, absolutely. Except he's in a lot better, general life shape right now. Exactly. Pat, please give me a bold first-round prediction tonight in the draft.
That's a good question. I think I'm going to give you a couple bold ones. Mm-hmm. I think there's four teams that have two picks?
Yes.
Two of those teams trade at least one of those picks. So that's going to be one. Two of those four don't take both first-round picks. And then, boy, I am so tempted to say that no quarterback is going to be taken in the first round, but someone's going to take Malik Willis, and I don't.
Someone's going to cave.
I think someone will, but I'm very close to saying it could be a quarterback-less first round, which I don't even know when the last time that happened.
True,
but I don't think there's going to be anything shocking from a standpoint of all these players that we're talking about. If Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett went like in the top it went to Carolina, that would still surprise you. That's really high for one of those guys to go. But I think you're more apt to have no quarterback taken than one of them taken like in the top, you know, to Carolina. But I didn't really even give you an answer there. It's terrible.
No, it was good. I liked it. I loved it. Real quick, Pierre, the first wide receiver taken tonight.
I think you said him, Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
It's hard to go against him, but I
feel like you love Olave too.
Jameson Williams,
Alabama.
I've seen him play. I was like, yeah, he's got something.
Any one of those three works for Pierre. Yeah. Pierre, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. Pat, thank you so much. PBKC, come out, hang out with us. First round's just about to begin at the Paddock Room. Want to thank everybody for being here. And there's still plenty of time to come for the all-you-can-eat buffet. Hang with Pierre, myself, Pat Rooney. For Pat Rooney and Pierre Garcon, I'm Ken Lavica. Thanks to Stone Labanowitz back in the studios. This has been the NFL Draft Kickoff Show on ESPN 106.3.